World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
They're coming our way, you know. They're coming our way. See, Coach, what are you talking about? They're coming our way. Begrudgingly dragging their feet, the church is beginning to realize they must get involved. They're beginning to see it. Now, some of them are going on the other team. Because, you see, it seems it's so good in Christianity to just always be merciful. No. We're in a war. See, we're in a spiritual war. And a lot of Christians don't like it. We don't like the idea that we got to stand up and push back and be hated of all men, which is what the scriptures promise us, that we're going to be hated of all men. We don't like that. And a lot of churches are, just telling you the truth, okay? A lot of churches are going to be, they're going to be closing their doors. Because at this time when they are most needed, they are most missing in action. And there's a movement going on. I want to encourage you. I want you to be excited that something's happening here. Okay. Now, before I get into that, I got some unbelievable stuff. Please stay with us. And if you got a chance right now, email somebody. Say, tune in, man. Tune in, because this is cutting edge stuff that we're going to share with you today. But before we do that, Liberty Mail, pull up if you could. Not Liberty Mail, Spencer. Pull up Liberty Mail. Prayers Against Davos, 2026, Spirits of Hermes Dialogue. We are praying this, folks, every day over the next, I don't even know how many days. Craig will straighten this out. The New World Order, a one-world Nimrod agenda. Hey, Ray, get ready. You're going to pray. A one-world Nimrod agenda is meeting in Davos this week. Started on January 19th yesterday. And the theme of a spirit of, by the way, this is the anniversary. I guess we should celebrate. This is the day of, Roe versus Wade, is it not? It's the highest elevated town in Western Europe with an elevation of 5120 foot. Nothing new under the sun, as Solomon once said. Fallen principalities and rulers of darkness over this world are assembling in high places. Oh, yeah, they're having an unholy huddle. The forces of darkness are having an unholy huddle. In Davos. Up to 3,000 leaders, think about that, from areas of government, political, industrial, and titans of artificial intelligence will be gathering to put their agenda in place for 2026. Oh, they have an agenda. Yeah, the devil's got an agenda. Psalm 2 states, "He who sits in the heavens shall laugh." Do we know who that is? Anybody know who that is? I thought he's sitting up in there just waiting to love everybody and hug everybody and not judge everybody. I'm okay. You're okay. No, he's laughing. Do you guys hear it? He's laughing. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Huh? Let me make a connection right here. Some of you still don't pick it up. We unleashed all hell in Minnesota. When we went up there and we prayer walked that and we staked it. All that stuff that's going on in Minnesota, we went there. Craig, maybe you can dig that out someplace. I don't know if we have any video of it anyway. We went there, friends. And we went there, we pulled down those strongholds, and we declared Christ was king over Minnesota. And has anybody out there been watching what's going on spiritually in Minnesota? So we shouldn't be sitting down there saying, oh my, oh my, oh my. Oh no, no. Because the guy who sits in heaven, he's laughing. He's showing the whole world. They're now trying to justify stolen money. You understand that, right? Huh? The devil's kids are now having to justify stolen money. Money stolen from Betty. Yeah, money stolen from Larry and from Mel and from Ray and from Craig. They have to justify stolen money. That's the position that they're in. Why? Because he sits in the heavens laughing at him. Laughing at him. So it's happening right in front of us. And the whole world now is waiting what? For the manifestation of the sons of God. And I think we're getting ready to show up. Huh? Pete put in there, Oswald Chambers says, the truth is we have nothing to fear and nothing to overcome because he is in all and we are more than conquerors through him. The recognition of this truth is not flattering to the worker's sense of heroics, but it is amazingly glorifying to the work of Christ. Folks, let me tell you something. He's laughing and we are in the most prime position we have ever been. So Ray, if you would, real quickly, I don't mean real quickly, I don't mean you have to do it quickly. Our daily action prayer from January 19th to the 23rd, which will be today, the 20th. Ray, Pastor Ray, would you read that for us, Pastor Ray?
Sure will. You know, we are one in the Spirit, one in the Lord. The Holy Spirit, before you even brought this up, as you're speaking of it, it brought me right to Psalm 2. I just want to read that real quick, and then I'll go on to that. It just says, sure. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth and themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord.
The heathen are raging, Ray. Ray, uh-huh. The heathen are raging, aren't they?
Yep,
aren't
they are.
Keep going.
Absolutely. Together against the Lord and against his anointed ones.
Wow.
So let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords.
Yes, baby.
From us, okay? And he that sitteth in the heavens, he shall laugh. For the Lord shall have them in derision. Because then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. God hates this stuff. And we are his anointed ones. So Heavenly Father, the God who sits enthroned over all creation.
Amen.
Colossians 1:16 states, who created all things visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all which were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. Father God, as your body of Christ, we come against this evil agenda of Davos 2026.
Amen.
And all those agendas going back Amen. To 1971 and beyond by the World Economic Forum and the One World Order agenda. We ask that you would break all previous bonds, chains, and cords of agreements in the spirit realms of heaven and earth that come against you and your beloved son, Jesus. As your ecclesias, we seek your face, Amen. Asking for heavenly righteousness and justice to prevail over all the earth. We decree your word over the earth, nullifying all agreements and plans of the fallen angels during the time of Davos 2026. We ask Father God to bring down heavenly rebukes.
Yes, Lord.
In the spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Against those who refuse to follow your good and perfect will. We raise up the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in which every knee will bow, every tongue confess that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
How many tongues, Ray? How many tongues will that be?
Oh, how many tongues? Every tongue in the world.
Every one of them. Every tongue Amen. And every knee.
Even Satan's, yep.
Every tongue and every knee.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So we, as a body of believers, we come against the express purpose of Davos 2026, which is to inflict harm upon mankind through their technology and their witchcraft and their economic controls. And we call upon you, Father God, to break the cords of the kingdom of darkness and of its influence over mankind. And may you create discord, division, envy, spite amongst those who come against you. Again, Psalm 2, against the Lord and against his anointed.
Amen.
We fear not, for Romans 8:31 states, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Lord, we finally ask that we be used as your hands, your feet, your voice, occupying these lands, picking ground for your kingdom, plowing our own fields placed in front of us. Luke 9:62 states that no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service of the kingdom of God.
Amen on that one.
Amen. So we praise you and we worship you. We honor you. We love you, Lord. And we watch as your strong arm and hand from heaven move against these demonic forces. Amen and amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Ray. Hey, real quickly, this wasn't part of the act here, but of course, Craig Mickle's Johnny on the spot. Spencer in the chat, Craig just posted the Coach Dave Live on October 24th, 2025. When we were in Minnesota, huh? We're in Minnesota on a secret mission. Come on now. Come on. Right? Oh, my goodness. We're in Minnesota. That's live from Minnesota. There's old Craig. We're talking about going out and salting the waters and staking, and we did. We went. We went and we staked Minnesota. Now, you could say one or two things here. I'll put that in the chat. It's already in the chat. You could say one of two things. You could say, well, boy, you sure stirred him up. Good move, coach. Or you could say, boy, coach, you sure exposed him. Man, did you ever expose him. And that's where I am, folks. Huh? Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but what? Expose them. And would you, hey, is all hell breaking loose in Minnesota or what? Huh? Just a coincidence, right, Craig? Just a coincidence. That we would happen to go up there and stake that and prayer walk that, and just a coincidence. Put that in the chat. For those of you who have not watched this version of it, it's an hour and 34 seconds. I just encourage you the rest of the day, sometime today. This is prophetic. This is looking back to where it began. Did that ever happen to you when you get around some people and you start talking about the old times when you're in high school and the guy says, oh, I forgot all about that. I forgot that. See, that's how you encourage yourself in the Lord. Look what we did. No. Look what the Lord did because we showed up. Wow. Now I want to play. Bear with me because I'm going to get into some stuff today that maybe some of you aren't aware of. And that's okay. That's why I'm glad you're here. And I want to start out with number one, number three, Cal Zastro, my buddy Cal Zastro, our buddy Cal Zastro. He was one of the Tennessee 10. I could go into a lot of stuff. But I just found us. I just looked on Facebook today, or whatever this is, and there's Cal. And tell me if maybe we haven't been saying this. Go ahead and play that, Spence. Cal's Astro. Hang on, Spence. Does it say when this was done? Does it say how long ago this is? It probably does something. It's okay. And what's Cal's question? What if Christians just showed up? Go ahead. March of 2025, a year ago. A little over a year ago, that'd be right? No, almost a year ago. Go ahead.
Here's what the FBI, here's what the Department of Justice, here's what all the devils in hell clearly understand. They understand that if one person from each local Christian church, just one, from each church shows up in front of the abortion clinic to peacefully pray and sing and preach the gospel and weep and maybe even sit in front of the doors, that their game is over. Their game is over. They could not arrest 1,000 people. Like, how many churches are in the Louisville, Southern Kentucky, Southern Indiana area? 100? 1,000? They got a seminary there, a big seminary. One seminary alone could have ended abortion. And if there's just a retiree or a teenager or one person from each local church, excuse me, that says, you know what? Let's get her done. Let's go be peacemakers where there's violence. Because here's what the...
Okay, cool. All right, so I want to... I'm praying and I'm declaring on my website, Facebook page, and all of you do the same thing, okay? Put on your Facebook page, arrest Don Lemon. Arrest Don. Don't say anything else. Arrest Don Lemon. You guys know who Don Lemon is, right? The anchor, whatever. By the way, how do they pick our anchors? Huh? Where the hell did Don Lemon come from? Only to find out why, surprisingly, he's gay. Oh, really? You mean the news is coming to me every day from a gay man? That's very surprising. Well, Don Lemon thought he'd be a smartass and lead a bunch of people into a church yesterday. Right? Is that the one? Is that the one I want? Don Lemon in church? Let's do this first. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and play that. Go ahead. It's Don Lemon, your intrepid CNN reporter who's going to get his ass locked up in jail. Hey, raise your hand. Say, I'll post it. I'll post it, coach.
Just did it.
Arrest Don Lemon. Arrest Don Lemon. Start a movement. Arrest Don Lemon. Okay, this is 2 minutes and 21. This is Don Lemon has organized. Are you ready for this, folks? He organized a protest in a church. Hey. Are you smart enough to see what's going on? Are you smart enough to see how bold they've become? Are you smart enough to understand that they want to drive Christianity off of the planet? You do understand that, don't you? Don Lemon. Yes, Alan, a Nicolaitan. Huh? He claims to be a Christian, doesn't he? Huh? I think he does. He's a homosexual. Do I hate him because he's a homosexual? No, I sure as hell ain't following him. Go ahead and play. It's only a couple minutes. This is evidence. Prima facie evidence. Don Lemon.
Former CNN anchor Don Lemon has been warned by the Justice Department over allegations he joined a swarm of anti-ICE protesters who burst into a Minnesota church in the middle of Sunday service.
Freeze it. Can you imagine that, folks? They show up inside a church and protest inside a church. Do you have any idea how many pastors that scared? Do you know that's why they did it? Did you know the pastors aren't going to say anything because they don't want them coming to their house? Keep going.
Just a pastor of working with ICE. Lemon, who has been documenting the increasingly violent protests following the shooting of Renee Nicole Good, live-streamed himself alongside demonstrators with the Racial Justice Network storming into the city's church in St. Paul, Minnesota, as they called out resident pastor David Eastwood, whom they accused of moonlighting as the acting field office
in
director
the
for ICE in the North Star State. A David Eastwood is listed as an employee with the local field office. However, the Post could not independently confirm whether he was the same person who heads up City's church. Eastwood was not at the Sunday service. Some service disruptors chanted slogans heard at the dozens of other protests that have wreaked havoc around Minneapolis. While others slandered Eastwood for supposedly misrepresenting the ideals of his faith through his support for ICE. Lemon spoke with the congregation's lead pastor, Jonathan Parnell, who said the bombardment was shameful.
I mean, this is unacceptable. It's shameful. It's shameful to interrupt
public
gathering of Christians in worship.
The Department of Justice is probing the demonstration at the church for potential violation of civil rights laws, specifically for interfering with Christian worshipers, according to a post on X. Harmeet Dhillon, the Justice Department's Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights, chided Lemon on social media. A house of worship is not a public forum for your protests. It is a space protected from exactly such acts by federal, criminal, and civil laws, nor does the First Amendment protect your pseudo-journalism of disrupting a prayer service. You are on notice, she wrote.
Oh, my goodness.
In a follow-up post,
hey,
she noted that the
posted. FBI has Don Lemon. Keep playing it.
Been activated and accused the protesters of desecrating a house of worship. Lemon has dismissed calls for him to be prosecuted for joining in with the group and defended his actions as protected under the First Amendment. The MAGA administration and the fake news MAGAs are losing their mind over something that's not even true, Lemon said, claiming he had no affiliations with the organization, defending his actions as, quote, an act of journalism.
He just happened to show up. He just happened to show up at that protest. Nobody, he didn't know it was going to go on. Okay, now this is really important. Pull up number one. Pull up number one. You guys know what the FACE Act is? Hang on. Hang on a second. Hang on a second, Spencer. Go to number four real quick. Before we do number one, go to number four, okay? Have you guys ever heard of the FACE Act? FACE Act, where they arrest Christians for blockading the doors, right? Okay, this is just a little clip to explain that they arrest Christians who show up at abortion clinics and stand outside and pray and block the doors. So very short, go ahead.
Which began August 9th with jury selection now enters its final stage. Now, jury deliberations are expected to begin Friday, deciding whether or not five anti-abortion protesters could face up to 11 years in federal prison.
Lauren Handy and her co-defendants are accused of violating the freedom of access.
Hang on. What you're going to see here is the peaceful protest that these people were being arrested for. Go ahead.
Entrances Act. The law makes it a crime to threaten anyone receiving or providing reproductive health services. Handy admitted on the stand she
sat in chairs and prayed.
Shot in this video by activist group Progressive Anti-Abortion Uprising. She admitted encouraging people to, quote, lock and block access to Washington Surgery Center October 2020. Federal prosecutors used protest organizers' own emails against them, in which one wrote, the idea of deliberately breaking the law is sexy. Prosecutors added, having strong feelings about abortion is allowed to debate and to vote. No one has the right to impinge on someone else's rights. On claims the five defendants planned the clinic blocking together, Handy's attorney said the conspiracy thing is half-baked. Of Lauren Handy's unproven belief that babies were being born alive at the clinic and killed, Handy's attorney said it doesn't have to be going on. She just has to reasonably believe it as reasoning for her actions that day.
Handy supporters say this verdict could have wide-ranging implications for what protesters can do while picketing outside reproductive care clinics, both inside and outside of those clinics.
Hang on. Reporting folks, you have to listen to the language. You hear he called it picketing. Picketing. Not praying, not peacefully protesting, picketing. You have to listen to the language that they use. Okay? Now, Go to number one. Most people do not know this. You know what the FACE Act is, right? Federal Access to Clinic Entrances. I'm going to show you the FACE Act, and I'm going to show you something else. So here is the FACE Act. Prohibited activities. Whoever, that'd be you, Ray, Betty, that'd be you, whoever, by force or threat of force or by physical obstruction, intentionally injures, intimidates, or interferes with an attempt to injure, intimidate, or interfere. You got those words? Intimidate or interfere. Intimidate or interfere. Any person, because that person is or has been, or in order to intimidate, there's the word again, such person or any other person of any class of persons from obtaining or providing reproductive health systems. Okay, so the FACE Act is about abortion, the abortion clinics. But the only way they could get the abortion clinic passed was the conservatives made them compromise. And look what the conservatives put in there. Number two, prohibited activities. Whoever by force or threat or force or by physical obstruction intentionally injures, imitates, or interferes with or attempts to injure, intimidate, or interfere any person lawfully exercising or seeking to exercise the First Amendment right of religious freedom at a place of worship. Ray.
Boom.
Boom. They did it to themselves. They did it to, huh? So they're going to arrest people for trying to save babies, and then they come into the church and disrupt the church. Uh-oh. You see it? See what's going on here? Now, are we going to have the stones to do it? Are we going to have the stones to do it? Point number nine. Dale knows these guys too. I'm sorry. Let me switch back over here. I know I've got hands up here. I'm sorry. This is good stuff. You ain't gonna hear this anywhere. I can't get my there. Oh, there it is. I don't. Something's wrong here, Spencer. On mine, I can't see if there are hands up. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, maybe you can fix it. Okay, now, folks. Number 9. Jimmy Zastro. Excuse me, Jimmy Zastro's Cal Zastro's son. Jimmy Zastro. He got arrested. He got sentenced. There, I can see him. Thanks, Vince. Pro-life activists face 11 years in prison for allegedly peaceful protests outside the abortion clinic. So they want to throw him in jail for 11 years for outside the clinic when Don Lemon went inside. Huh? Oh, we can't let him get off, folks. Go ahead and play it real quick.
Disturbing news as a group of pro-life activists from Nashville were recently found guilty in federal court under the FACE Act for quietly and peacefully protesting outside a local abortion clinic. Here's a little snippet of that protest from March of 2021.
That's that violent protest they're telling you about, huh? Eva Ed on the back there, Holocaust survivors, blue sweater. Jimmy Zastro, I know these people. I've done this with these people. 11 years in prison. No, they weren't blocking the door. Government propaganda, of course, blocking the door.
You know what I heard?
Tell me. Okay, pull it down, folks. 11 years in prison. And Don Lemon leads a crew into the church. He said, "Oh, I didn't lead it. Oh, yeah? Did you broadcast it from in there, Mr. CNN? Hang on. I'll get to you in a second. Okay, now, that's the FACE Act. Pull up number 2. I'm not really sure what it was, but it's number 2, so it must be worth hearing. Okay, listen to this. This is from Benny Johnson, okay? DOJ announces intentions to charge Don Lemon under the Ku Klux Klan Act. The KK Act makes it illegal to threaten, hurt, or intimidate people to prevent them from exercising their God-given rights. Harmet Dillon, who she's the prosecutor, the Klan Act is one of the most important federal civil rights statutes. It's a law that makes it illegal to terrorize and violate the civil rights of citizens. Whenever people conspire this, the Klan Act can be used. Everyone in the protest community needs to know that the fullest force of the federal government is going to come down and prevent this from happening and put people away for a long time. Now, just play just a couple minutes of this. Go ahead, just play this. Click on it.
We will pursue charges in this case. I see various crimes that have occurred. Exactly what they are, I'm not going to flag, but the FACE Act has been mentioned as one of the predicates there. In other cases, the Biden DOJ used the Klan Act conspiracy charges tacked on to the FACE Act in the case of protests outside abortion clinics to bring much longer sentences. So there are a number of tools available to us.
You can freeze it. Put it in the chat. Hey, go to your Facebook page and post arrest Don Lemon. Arrest Don Lemon, okay? One other thing here. Where am I? I promise you, I'm going to open up here in just a minute. I promise you. Pull up number 5. Here's what's going on. Friends, look. We went up to Minnesota and we awakened a demon. Give me a thumbs up, Ray. We awakened a demon, friends. We're seeing it right now. I don't know who this guy is, but this is what's going on. If you think this is Republican Democrat, you are dumber than a rock. Go ahead.
Get what's happening in Minnesota. I want you to look at what's happening in Minnesota right now and realize not 6 months ago, the Democratic coalition of Satan worshipers, they thank Governor Tim Walz for not standing in the way of spreading Satanism at the state capitol building. Not standing in the way. Open the door, let them come right on in. They said, Satan has a special place for you, they said. Yeah, I'm sure he does. And you see this right here? This prayer right here. It says, you are your own God. Now that's a lie as old as the devil himself. This is satanic trash. The capital of Minnesota, they put this altar up, okay? I mean, let's face it, that's what this is. This is an altar. They put this up, and not 6 months later, we see the areas surrounding the capital devolve, disintegrate, crumble before our eyes. Violence, anarchy, lawlessness, godlessness, everywhere you look, in everybody. But I mean, that's Satan for you. That's how he operates. Is it any wonder? Since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, he gave them up to a depraved mind to do what shouldn't be done. That's Romans 1:28 playing right out for us. A depraved mind, a reprobate mind, is a state of moral and spiritual decay. People have lost their sense of logic, morality, and reasoning. Why? Prolonged rejection of God's truth. Lifting up of demons in his place instead. And check this out. They become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They're gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent new forms of evil. They disobey their parents. They're senseless, faithless, heartless, and merciless.
Boom!
I mean, yeah, that sounds about right. I pray for every single soul in the state of Minnesota, in our country, in the world, who has just lost their sense of God and instead is following their own way in the way of this world. Turn to God. Turn to Jesus, man. This world needs Jesus.
2 Thessalonians, Spencer, real quickly, if you could. Bible Gateway. Coming right to you, Joe. Get ready, Joe. Get ready. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, I believe it is. Now we beseech you, brothers, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by gathering together unto him, that you be not so soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, neither from letter from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. And let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except to come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is God, or that is worshipped, as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was with you, I warned you about these things? You know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time? For the mystery of iniquity is already at work. How long ago was this? The mystery of iniquity was already at work. Only he, the Holy Spirit, who's now blocking it, is soon going to be taken out of the way. And then that wicked will be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the mouth of his spirit and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Wow. Even with him whose coming is after the workings of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth. That they might be saved. Hang on, hang on. Here's so much God loves everybody. You ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? And for this cause, God shall send a strong delusion. Who? CNN? No. MSNBC? No. God sends a strong delusion as judgment that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They have pleasure in unrighteousness.
Boom.
Come on, Joe.
What Don Lemon did is to set precedents for more to come. This is the first illustration of why our churches are weak.
They hate. Okay, hang on. Thanks for saying that, Joe. Pull this up. Pull up number 7. Hey, folks, you know with me, it isn't Republican Democrat, okay? It isn't public. We got to quit doing that. It isn't Republican Democrat. Let me say it real slow. It isn't Republican Democrat, okay? It's evil. Good evil. Real quickly, play this.
These people have lost the plot. They have no God. Name me one Democrat, and I'm not saying be as proud as I am or as Pat or as a Tom with our faith. Where are the people that believe in God? Where are the God-fearing Christian people that have any backbone, any faith? They lost it, Rob. It's all LGBTQ, open the border, fraud. Name me one thing that this party stands for. It's enough playing pussyfooting around and going, no, there's some good ones. There aren't. Please play this, Rob, of how this is the mentality of what they do to your brains if you're watching this and you're a Democrat. Go ahead.
In 1943, the following directive was issued from party headquarters to all communists in the United States. It read, when certain obstructionists become too irritating, label them after suitable buildups as fascist or Nazi or anti-Semitic, and use the prestige of anti-fascist and tolerance organizations to discredit them. In the public mind, constantly associate those who oppose us with those names which already have a bad smell. The association will, after enough repetition, become fact in the public mind.
These
anti-Semite,
people,
huh? Anti-Semite, bigot, homophobe. Do you get it yet? Do you get it yet? Come on in, Dale.
Well, of course, Coach, that is their tactic, to shame you down, to scare you back. But the thing is, this is that tier. It's not just, it's the legal system. You now have to find the federal court in that region to bring the case to, just like in Tennessee. That's why it was a federal court. They own the frickin' judges, Coach. Yeah, that's why even if this gets there, it'll get thrown out. Unfortunately, churches need to set up secure defensive systems. We do. And I promise you what, that crowd right there would have never got inside my church. 100%
Amen.
Guaranteed.
And the men of God would have never let it happen. Never would have let it happen. Right? Right? You know why they use women? You know why they use women? Because a man isn't allowed to hit one.
They You're going to have to show me the law that says a man can't hit a woman, Coach.
Culturally, from a societal standpoint, a man can't hit a woman. Would you imagine it wouldn't be nearly the upheaval if that girl that was killed in Minnesota had been a man. Wouldn't be nearly the upheaval. So they send these wicked, wicked women, because men have been trained, don't hurt women. Don't hurt women. Somebody should have found one of those sissy men that's in that room and given him the biggest left hook anybody ever got. That's what I think. Lauren.
Oh, Coach, wait, I'd come back in and tell you this. Oh, that women's rights thing, right? That equal right and all that? Right, there you go. I'm just demonstrating it for you.
It's an equal rights. You can't hit a woman. Look, I'm not advocating hitting a woman, but you can't hit one. Right? You're not allowed to, are you? Well, I thought women were, women are just like men. Until you hit one. They can spit at you and slap you and do all kinds of, huh? And what we're seeing across a world is men afraid to combat against these wicked Jezebel women. Afraid to do it. And I don't know about you. See, this isn't very Christian to most of you. Don't think that. If some woman spit in my face, I'd like to see a court find me guilty of anything because I knocked her on the ground. If we had it on video, right? Well, then make some of you nervous, huh? Making some of you nervous? Kevin, come on in.
So what do you think the response from the congregation would have been if this group had gone in demonstrating, yelling and screaming and carrying on like they did into a mosque? Do you think they would have had their asses handed to them?
They wouldn't have gone into no mosque, brother. They ain't going into no mosque.
No, because they won't put up with it. So why wait?
Yeah, the religion of peace Yeah, that would have shown up there. Folks, do you understand? Do you understand that defense is godly? Do you understand that? Do you understand protecting women and children and protecting the sanctity of the church is godly? Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Randy.
Coach, I believe you're challenging the church to practice what the Bible says and make us live to the standard God set, Coach. He set the standard. But Coach, did. I want to go back to one point in the law, the face law. Define, have the lawyer, when I'm standing there, I'm guilty, have him define a place of worship. Okay? Look, Coach, if I can prove, and you can, I can, all of us should, after listening to me for 6 years, 7 years, a place of worship is where the Holy Spirit is and you are. That place of worship doesn't have to be a location. A specific one. It can be any location. So if we have the right for speech and worship and all that, how can they take away our right to just worship there, even if we didn't say anything? See, it's a bogus law, Coach.
It's bogus.
It's a bogus law.
We're the temple. We're the temple, folks. Need some building. We're the temple. Lauren.
Good morning. Interestingly enough, there has to be something where they in this quote unquote reporter, right, said that they went there because they had doxxed an ICE officer, you know, and so they thought that they could go into the house where he worships to where he's vulnerable to ambush him. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, Don Lemon was literally recorded saying he knew exactly what they were doing, and this is the cost of what yes. rioting is. Yes. He quote unquote said it. So on his own omission, you know, he can't get around it. This was premeditated act against a federal agent.
Arrest Don Lemon. Worshiping. Arrest him. Arrest Don Lemon.
Well, and I mean, and considering it was Martin Luther King's birthday yesterday and Trump's, it, you know, said that they want to put this was against the KKK.
Well, hang on. Got to understand that Don Lemon's a twofer. He's black and he's gay.
And his husband's white. His husband is white. Hello. And they're white supremacists.
We're afraid to say this.
Right.
They stuck a sock in the mouth of the Christians. We're afraid to say it. Mark Trump.
I'm just wondering, we had a point where you got a big building in the middle of this beautiful area. You got parking for cars. You got buses coming in and out. You got your security. But then you got a big fence around the whole thing with barbed wire. You got a gate. You got people coming to church going through a gate.
Mm.
Next, you got a parking lot. But what I'm saying is, are we at a change where families are going to want that? They're going to want to go into a safe area. Are we getting to a point where Sharia law and all of this stuff on the streets is going to put us in a position to put a perimeter around our churches outside the church so the wolves can't get in the parking lot?
Wow.
And instead of the pastor inviting the wolves in to collect money from the wolves, he leaves them out there outside the parking lot. I wonder if we're going to do that, Coach. But that's what it means. Otherwise, your perimeter is compromised or on your property. We walk onto the parking lot. We do it too. They ain't got a fence up, so it's legal. These are the things that the future holds for us in the right churches. That's right? Well, Mark, they start throwing the wolves out.
throw the wolves out. Amen. Hey, hey. Most churches would just pray for them. Let's just pray for them, brothers. They're just lost. Let's just pray for them. No. They're Amen. Emissaries of hell, brothers and sisters. They're emissaries Bad. Of hell. Kevin Van Story, then Randy. Go, Kevin.
What's the definition?
Emissaries of hell. Hey, Spencer, look up emissary. Look up emissary. Hang on, hang on there, Kevin. Emissary. They're emissaries. E-M-I-S. Emissary is what? A person sent on a mission. Missionary employed to preach and propagate the devil. Person sent on a private message or business. A secret agent employed to sound or ascertain the opinions of others. He's an emissary from hell. When are we going to realize it? Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, he's got the Webster's there. What's the definition of sanctuary? A safe place. It's supposed to be a safe place to worship, a sacred, safe place. So, if that situation was to ever happen around me, whether I'm part of the security team or not, I will be busting some ass. I'm sorry. I'll go to jail.
You wasn't one man in that church to stand up and whatever knocked the camera out of the hand of that reprobate emissary from hell. Not one godly man stood up and did that.
Dude, I saw that.
What's that?
I saw that. Nobody had any testicular.
No. Hey, just love them. Pray for them. Just pray for them.
I got to protect my flock.
They didn't protect the flock. Protect the flock with the Glocks, the shirt we had used to have. Randy.
Yep. Yeah, Coach. Kevin, that's a good word there, sanctuary. It's actually the same place. That's who we are, Coach. Jesus said, look what he said, Coach. And this is really important, a point we should all understand and practice. The woman at the well said to Jesus, well, yeah, we go to that mountain there to worship. And she said, well, yeah, and we know the Jews, they go to Jerusalem, that where the temple is. We understand that. And Jesus says, hey, look, lady, the day is now. I've come. You don't need that mountain in Jerusalem. You don't need mountain in your city or your country. You are going to worship the Father in spirit and truth. So, Coach, where do we worship God? Is it in wherever our body goes, Coach? And this is freedom of religion, right? We have the opportunity to interpret the word of God this way because it is true. So, Coach, if we have the right to worship, if we have the right to assemble, we have the right to free speech, how can the FACE Act stand when it's discretionary? It's coming against the people of the other side. See, Coach, we should be pushing this to the limit. This is, they can't take the FACE Act against anyone. It's discrimination, Coach.
That's why you got to tune in tomorrow when we talk about we're going to talk about stare decisis and what the heck's happened to our legal system.
And Coach, you know, but we can use not only the Bible, but so what we're making fools and hypocrites out of the other side, Coach. If we can stand up and articulate this a little bit,
right,
we can make them the hypocrite.
So Randy, if the scripture says that we are to rescue those who are unjustly led to slaughter, which, by the way, it says that, how can the government say we can't? If there's a separation between the church and state here, right? Rescue those who are unjustly led to slaughter. I'm simply following my faith. Spencer, maybe better look that up because people don't even know that it's in the Bible. Rescue those who are unjustly led to the slaughter. That'd be unborn babies, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be unborn babies? Oh, yeah, but they're not unborn. They're not people. I get it. They're not people. Yeah, blah, but I get it. Okay, I get it. I'm sorry. Proverbs 2:24-12 says, If you forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, if you say, behold, I didn't know it. I didn't know that they were killing babies. And he that keepeth your soul, doesn't he know it? And shall he not render to every man according to his works? Wow. That's not what I was looking for, but that's good. Go ahead, Alan. Alan Zeifer.
Oh, God's exposing the churches that are connected to the vine of Sodom. Coach, I preached about this Sunday night, man. We either are connected to the true vine, Jesus Christ, the vine of Sodom, or the vine of the earth. And the sick part about this whole thing is the vine of the earth is just common people without God. But they, some of them have a moral clarity, some don't. Some are good, some are evil. But they do have this. They know what a true man or woman of God is, how they should talk, how they should walk, how they should act. The vine of the earth understands this. The vine of Sodom does not. Don Lemon is of the vine of Sodom. I'm a Christian, he says. I'm a Christian, he says. He's a vine of Sodom, Nicolaitan is what he is. Yeah. And all the churches that stand and all the preachers that stand with Don Lemon and Obama and their woke culture, they're all of the vine of Sodom. Everything's good, Coach. Killing babies, men marrying women, the whole night. It's all good. Just throw a little Jesus in there. That's right. The vine of Sodom is all about. If you read Deuteronomy 32, and you read them few verses in there that I put them on the chat there a while back. You read them. It's talking about Jesus Christ in there because the capital is the rock. It says their rock, lowercase r, is not like our rock. That's the rock Don Lemon's on, the demonic rock of the vine of Sodom. It's right there.
And by the way, Alan, his team's in control.
Yes, sir, they are.
His team's in control.
Because the church has set back on its do-nothing pew since 1954 when Lyndon Baines Johnson laid the hammer to him, told him to shut up and sit down. We've been encouraged and we've been brainwashed into saying, oh, we can't say anything about a wicked government or wicked politician.
The courts have ruled.
Yes, and we didn't vote. We stayed out of politics, even though the Bible's full of politics. What was Daniel? He was on Nebuchadnezzar's court. He was a politician. I don't care how you want. Yeah, he was a prophet, but he was a political one. What was Joseph? He had the signet ring of Pharaoh. He was the most powerful man, second to Pharaoh in the whole empire. He ran the empire. What was he? Oh, he was a politician. He was a prophet as well. He was a man of God, and he was God's man for the hour.
Amen. Amen.
People don't understand the difference, Coach, between God's man and a man of God. They can be both, or they can just be one or the other.
That's right.
But people they don't have a differentiation of that. They really don't. That's why people can't stomach Trump. Trump's God's man right now. He's God's man. That don't mean he's a man of God, but he's God's man. And he's sure doing a lot of godly deeds that other people that say they're this and that, that don't do anything.
Amen. 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 Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Jail Don Lemon. Arrest Don Lemon. Dave Allison. Come on in, Dave.
Morning, everyone. Folks, if the sign out in front of your church says, come as you are and you'll be loved, we might want to think that position. We think that
everyone position. Welcome, Dave. They say everyone welcome.
Because if that's what your sign says and that happens, technically they got it out. The sign out said, it says, come as you are and you'll be loved. We came as we are and they didn't love us. So, Coach, what really happened in that church on Sunday, whether your church had a sign up front that said that or that's basically your position, that's been going on in your church for a long time. It just didn't manifest itself.
That's right. Good point.
But Sunday it finally manifests itself.
Amen. Huh? John Brockoff, are you out there, John Brockoff? John's often hanging in here. Let me. I was thinking about you earlier today, John. Last night and earlier today, because John Brockoff told me, "Are you in there, John?" I'm scrolling down here, because John Brockoff told me something I'll never forget. Never forget. He says, "Coach, the church will lose all effectiveness, and the culture no longer fears them. Do you hear that, friends? Do you hear what I said? The church will lose all effectiveness when the world no longer fears the church. There we are. Come on in, Ray.
Coach, I just put in the chat. I don't know if it's there. Some of us familiar with this guy, Matthew Wasserma. He's a street preacher.
Yeah.
And piggyback on what Alan had to say, he went into a church in Chicago, and they defended their little sanctuary. He went up into the church, and when there was a break, went to the platform and told them, there's murder going on in your city. Who out here is going to join me tomorrow morning at the abortion mill so we can put a stop to this? Well, the security team there ran and tackled him, knocked him on the floor, dragged him and put him in a closet and called the cops on him.
Because there's a question.
That's the church. That's the church of the synagogue of Satan that calls themselves in the name of Jesus.
There we are. There we are.
Amen.
One more thing here before we go. Let me pull it up here. It's just kind of, I find stuff sometimes, folks, just kind of out of nowhere. Fine. So bear with me a second. Pull up. Where is it? Number six. A message from the 1940s. Are you ready? Go ahead.
This is what I found. The key to Robert Forrest's fascist organization. Of course, they didn't call it fascism. They painted it red, white, and blue and called it Americanism. And here are the funds to see it through. Fantastic amounts subscribed by a few private individuals to whom money didn't mean anything anymore, but who wanted political power. Knew they could never get it by democratic means. There's a list of their names. This was the essence of their plan. Here are some articles ready for release to stir up all the little hatreds of the whole nation against each other. This was an article to be published in an anti-Semitic paper attacking the Jews. This was to be used in the Farmer's Gazette to stir them up against the city dwellers. Here's one attacking the Catholics. Anti-Negro, anti-labor, anti-trade union. Subtle appeal to the Ku Klux Klan. Here's a list of newspaper editors who either sought to occupy public office or sought to dictate who should occupy public office. And when they failed, felt that the public was a great stupid beast. Here's a list of men who served their country in the last war and were failures in business and again longed for the power of rank and the prestige of a uniform. In there are the names and addresses of the men who were designated to be America's first stormtroopers. But what was really shocking to me was the complete cynicism of the plan. Each of these groups was simply to be used until its usefulness was exhausted. Hates were to be played against hates. If one group threatened to get too powerful, it would be killed off by another group. And in the end, all these poor little people who never knew to what purpose they were lending themselves would be in the same chains, cowed and enslaved, with Robert Forrest and his handful of power-thirsty henchmen cracking the whip.
There you go. It's all about control. It's all about control. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Rise up, O men of God. Pastor, for God's sake, wake the hell up! See you tomorrow.